Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who will be listening over the internet around the world, no matter where you are. I mean, just, you know, I don't, if you're in Europe or Asia, Africa, Australia, North America, South America, Central America, or the islands of the sea, we're glad you listen, and we know that we have people listening in all those locations. So we're glad you're listening. And in this session, we're going to be talking about choose life. You know, the last message was waiting to die as a question. And this is choose life. And our scripture is found in the Old Testament. It is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. So, starting in verse 11, and of course I'm reading from the New International Version, I employ that here to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. I do a lot of my Bible study in the King James Version, but I use this so that the listeners can all have equal understanding of the words. So, beginning in verse 11, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And that ends there with verse 20. Choose life. You know, the idea of choosing life must seem obvious to most people. I mean, one of the first things you would think if you were going to be in an automobile wreck or if someone was shooting at you or some terrible thing was about to happen to you is you'd probably be wanting to find a way to prolong your life because you would have just this inside desire to choose life over what could happen. We hear people tell others to choose life in regard to not aborting a baby. People often do not realize they can be aborting their own life, at least eternal life, by the choices they make. I always find this interesting. You know, in the last message, waiting to die, and I talked about how people can just really just be sitting around just waiting for the end, thinking they're really serving God and they're not. But many people who would never think of aborting a baby abort their own life and don't realize it. So many who would never consider having an abortion due to this baby growing inside of their body would, however, choose to abort their own life during this current life, which is really just preparing them for a life with God through eternity. Do you understand that if you could look at this life and really see it in the termination, in the whole idea, the whole model or paradigm of eternity, this life is in some ways like a womb of development. And we know that there are things that God has for us to do after this life. And that there are rewards that we will get after this life. But we must make it through this life, just as a baby must make it through a full term of growing inside a womb. We must do the same in this life, so that you know, then we are prepared for eternity with God. And there are times, I'm sure, in your life and mine, where we have felt like nothing good was ever going to turn out. Those were the bad days. You know, we tend as people to think that, well, however today is, that's the way all the other days are going to be. If it was a good day, we think all the days are going to be good. And if it was a bad day, we think all the days are going to be bad. Neither, of course, is true. Now let's take a look at God and Israel. When God spoke to Israel in our scripture, he was commanding and instructing them, not just commanding, he was also instructing them about how they were to keep his will in their daily affairs. Now today we have much preaching to people about how to behave in your daily affairs. So much, unfortunately, that it has almost become like a philosophy of life is what people hear about from the pulpits. Not the power that we're supposed to operate, walk in, the things that we're supposed to do, but just helping people somehow stay on that straight and narrow, with everybody just trying to work to be really good. And it almost turns into then people thinking, well, I have to be good to go to heaven, and it cuts Jesus out completely. But back then, we're talking about, and he's talking to Israel, the keeping of his law would bring them life and good, or prosperity. Because that word good can be translated either way. God placed before Israel something to be desired or avoided, even rejected. And not keeping of his commandments and instructions would bring them what was to be avoided, death and destruction. In other words, evil. God promised the children of Israel they would have life if they chose it by keeping the law. The result of keeping the law would be blessing rather than curses. The law then was not only instructive, but the only measure of behavior by which a person could be in right standing with God. Now, the Apostle John, in his Gospel, in chapter 10, verse 10, he records Jesus saying this, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The King James says, more abundantly. Now, think about that for a minute. Jesus said that he came so that people would be able to have this. But now, wait a minute. It said in our Old Testament scripture that people would have that if they did certain things. If they were what we would just call today, if they would just be good. So we must choose life, but we have a choice and an ability that they did not have then. Because we have a Messiah, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When we read in our scripture in verses 19b, the end of verse 19 there in 20, it says, "Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now notice here, he is talking to his chosen people. He's talking to Israel. Israel would be the descendants of Jacob. And it's very important because this says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it lets you know how this choosing of God's people, how it flowed through a various lineage. You know, I run into people all the time who, some of them are living just horrific lives, and they'll say to me, I'm not hurting anybody but me. Well, that's not true, because you create generational problems here. And here it talks about you and your children, it says, may live. How we live our lives has a very definite effect on our children. A very definite effect on our children. So we must learn that what we do affects many more people than ourselves. Not just the people we're relating to, but people who are not even necessarily born yet. Maybe you haven't had a child yet, but you will one day. So what you do can affect your children. We see how God related to his chosen people. We see that through the whole of the Old Testament. The covenant was with Israel, not with all mankind. That covenant that he gave was with Israel, his chosen people. Just the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was that covenant. And then comes Jesus. The beautiful thing with Jesus is you get to choose life in Jesus. Many people miss the distinction between the Old Covenant or Testament and the New Covenant or Testament, with Jesus the Christ having fulfilled the Old Covenant and the New Covenant being established through him. You know, I explained that he fulfilled the Old Covenant over and over and over. And so many people are so accustomed to what they think that they continually miss that if he fulfilled the law, yes, he didn't come to destroy the law, that if he fulfilled the law, it was like paying off a mortgage to your house. He paid it off. He paid the price. He did that. He no longer had to show up at the bank every month making another payment because he took care of that. He fulfilled the old covenant. But we have so many people who just step back into the old covenant, just trying to be so good and so perfect. Well, you've got over 400 laws that you have to keep if you're going to do that. Ceremonial laws. You have the Ten Commandments. You have all of these things. My friends, you don't want to step back under that kind of bondage, because when you do that, it's all about you then. It's not about Jesus or what he did. So many people miss the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And Jesus having fulfilled the Old Covenant. And the New Covenant being established through him. It's a new covenant. It's like, in some ways, it's like you used to have a house and you paid this house off, and now you've moved to a new house. Well, you may have a new covenant on how you're going to have that house, but you're not still tied to the old house because that's all been fulfilled. Well, this is what Jesus did, but he made a big house. He made a house so large that anyone on this planet who wants to be in his kingdom can be, simply by accepting him. Under the old plan, man did all for himself as a part of the chosen people, and he did it all within the law. Under the new covenant, the new plan, Jesus took the old burden away by fulfilling the old and opening the new covenant up to all the people, everybody. Jesus therefore became the passageway, the door, to right standing with God, and not our behavior. Jesus is the right standing with God, not our behavior. Because if it's our behavior, then we're talking works. We're talking works righteousness. That's not what it is. It's what Jesus did. He is the door. If we try to do it ourselves, we're trying to build another door, and we come like a thief. That's the way the enemy comes. That's the reason Jesus told them in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, why isn't it to steal, to destroy, and to kill? Because the destroying is the destroying of you, of your spirit's contact with God forever. That's destruction. Your body just gets killed in the process. But destruction is not having access to God for eternity. That's destruction. And the place for Satan and his angels was never made for us. It was never God's desire that anybody, that any human being would go there. You see, we no longer of necessity, due to our shortcomings, which are sins, falling short, missing the mark, that's what the word sin means, have to wallow in shame and guilt for our behavior. Why not? Because of Jesus. Jesus himself, being God, paid for and took our shame. No one need stand over a believer in Jesus Christ with a whip, because Jesus let others stand over him with a whip on our behalf. You shouldn't stand over yourself with a whip. You shouldn't beat up on yourself and tell yourself why you can't do this for God, or why you can't do that for God, or why you're not perfect enough. That's why Jesus came, to give this new covenant, because you cannot be perfect enough. He was, he is, and he did it for you. He stood under the whip that many people would put on you even today, when they see that you're not just being perfect today. But Jesus took that shame. What do we do when we realize that maybe we're beating ourselves up with our own little whip? We need to stop that. And we just go and we just repent. What is repent? We say, I'm sorry. I fell short. I missed the mark. And I'm sorry. But you see, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, some people could say, well, that means you can just get away with anything. No, because you wouldn't be there repenting if you didn't love the Lord. If you didn't love what he did for you, you wouldn't even be there saying you were sorry. You wouldn't even care. You would not even care. You see, a believer cares when they miss the mark. But a believer who's properly taught knows that that does not disqualify them. Now, who would tell you that it would disqualify you from serving God? It'd be the enemy. The enemy would use your own falling short to whip you with it and beat you with it and tell you just what a wretch you are and why you cannot serve God. And that is a lie, literally from the pit of hell. Jesus paid. Jesus took our shame. He took the whip on our behalf. You see, abundant life has no shame. And Jesus came that we would have life and have it to the full, to have abundant life. Abundant life has no shame, but has the joy of fulfillment. The fulfillment of who? Of Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what enables us to say, I missed the mark and I'm sorry, but I have in me the joy of the Lord. It's not happiness, it's a joy. It is a gift placed there by God. Placed there by God for us. We must not look at our falling short any longer than to repent of it and move on in the power given us through Jesus Christ. Do you understand that if you look at your own shortcoming and you do not repent of it, first of all, that's wrong. But second of all, then if you don't carry out what you've been left here to do because of that, you have committed the second wrong. You are not the whipping post. and you are not at the whipping post. You were never meant to be under the whip. Once you accepted Christ, punishment was not for you. You're to walk and live in repentance. When you do something that's outside, that you know is outside the will of God, you immediately repent and move on. If you were running a race and you weren't a quitter and you stumbled in the race, what would you do? Particularly if it was a relay race, and that's what this is in some ways, because you were meant to carry the baton so far and then hand it off. Because you'll be called home, but you have to hand it off to somebody. If there's nobody there to hand it off to, what happens? It just falls to the ground. So if you're going along and you're in your race and you stumble, what do? You pick up your baton, you get back up, and you go, "Oh, I'm sorry, I fell," and you just keep on going. We were called to a race and to finish it. And we can finish it because the finishing of it is the grace given us by God Himself through Christ. Think of that. We are to repent and move on in the power given us through Christ Jesus. When we choose life in Christ, we are not only God's chosen or God's servants. Now remember the Old Testament. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "I don't call you servants. I call you friends." He calls us friends and brothers. Why? Because we're in an entirely different position than human beings had ever been before since the fall. We're restored. When we choose life in Christ, we are not only God's chosen or God's servants, we are friends of God. A servant does not know what his master doeth, the scripture says. But we're in a position to know what our master does. We're in a position to be given words of knowledge. We're in a position to be given discernment on issues. We're in a position unlike people in the world. But if we only follow the rules of the unsaved, the unrepentant, if we let them define what our lives are supposed to be so that we don't appear to be religious fanatics or Christ fanatics or whatever, we're missing the whole point of why we're here. We're here to give them the definitions of joy and happiness. We're here not to dictate to them, but to demonstrate to them the power of God. You see, God does what God does through us through demonstration, not through dictation. It's the enemy who will dictate to you. It's the enemy who will take you over. It's the enemy who will cost you more than you ever wanted to spend and take you farther than you were ever willing to go. But with Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit's power. You must not only have the Spirit in you, but you must have the Holy Spirit on you. And when the Holy Spirit is on you, He is on you in power. And you will do things that people have only dreamt of doing. Who never knew it could be done? Because they never possessed that power in them or on them. It's not just having the Holy Spirit in you. It's being baptized, being covered, surrounded by the Holy Spirit as well. The abundant life has no shame. The abundant life has glory. Not our glory, but Christ's glory. And that glory comes through the Holy Spirit activating and working through us. Choose life, my friends. Do not abort yourself and what you've been called to because you were born again. You were not born again to be aborted. You are born again to walk in power and might and love to carry out even greater works than Jesus did. He said so. That's not me saying so. He said so. Choose life and let it be abundant. Let it be fulfilling. Don't stop it. Don't abort the abundance that Christ has for you. Don't abort the fulfillment that He has for you. Accept Him and the life, this very life that you live right now, with the blood coursing through your veins, He has given you as a gift, as a new creature. You're not the creature your mother had. You're the creature that was born again, and all things became new when you accepted Christ. Choose life. Always. Choose life. Well, that's my message for this session. I hope this has spoken to you. I hope you've gotten something from this. If you have questions, or you say, oh, that made sense to me, or you want to talk to me about this, or whatever, you can contact me. Send me an email. The Sojourner. Remember, Sojourner is spelled Sojourner. The Sojourner at SojournersHub.org. Or, if you're in the United States, you can phone me at 800-391-6944. Or, if you're on Skype on the Internet, The Sojourner 3734. You can reach me that way as well. I'd be happy to work with you to do what we can to help you. We're happy to set up meetings over the Internet and in various locations. If you're in Honolulu, Hawaii, we have people there to work with you and to help you. If you're in India, we have people there. If you're in Africa, we have people there. We can help you directly, and we have other people who can help you as well. We want you to know and to learn and understand. You contact us. We have a free gift we'll send you that'll help you get started or help you restart in your walk with the Lord. Well, that brings to an end this message, and I want to leave you with this blessing. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.